morning. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers here this morning. It is good to be here this morning, and I know Sister Marilyn is not here. They're working, and I think they had a big situation going on there, and they got to do everything manual. So continue to pray for that situation. But anyone you'll lift up in prayer this morning?
Let's pray for Sister Pat. She texted this morning, and she's still a little under. What she say she had, balloon? Pneumonia.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Definitely pray for her.
My sister.
Sister Mel has pneumonia. She's been on antibiotics all week. She still does not sound good. I talked to her a few minutes ago. She's going Tuesday for a CT scan on that spot on her lung just to make sure everything's good. But, yeah, remember that.
Any
memories?
She just can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
She just can't talk.
And Brother Royce's sister, continue lifting her up in prayer.
Okay.
Yes. And
remember Deborah and Bonnie in the nursing home.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Chris and went by there this morning. He said he took some good pictures of his mom this morning. So we need to pray for the major and Bonnie. Anyone else showing up this morning?
If y'all remember us as we traveled from Savannah this week, all of us, or Mitchell's work, but we're kind of tagging along.
Okay. Yeah, if y'all noticed, you pulled up in the parking lot, there's a SUV out there with a California tag on the best
thing. Yeah, trust me.
Kathy Graves is in the hospital too.
Kathy Graves is okay.
With infection and blood pressure.
Bless her, lift her up in prayers too.
And if y'all remember Mitchell, we went to Vanderbilt a while back and I hadn't asked for prayer yet or anything. Anyway, his it was at sarcoid and his headaches have gotten a lot worse recently. And this is how it all started back when we first got him diagnosed with this. And he's gotta go through an MRI of the brain to see if it's the brain when we go back early June. So y'all just be praying that that's not the case, that it's allergies or something that's made it worse. So he'll have to have this treatment if so.
Well, definitely continue praying for you, Brother Mitchell. Anyone else this morning? Again, we always have so many to pray for and lift up in prayers. And, you know, it's, again, this is Mother's Day, and it's a blessed day for a lot of us. And I think the mothers, is, you know, Sister Nail, I just think of Sister Nail, you know. I know it's probably a hard day on her today.
Sure.
But, you know, in spite of all that, you know, God is in control of everything. And then we can find comfort in Him. We know that. We can get a blessing from that. And it is good to be here this morning. And it's good to see Rodney and Michaela. It's good to see you back. It's good to have you back with us. Well, let's go into the Lord in prayer. And Brother Rodney, it's good to see you. Will you lift us up in the Lord in prayer, please? And these are what we mentioned, if you don't mind.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you again this morning. We thank you, dear God, for the day. Thank you, dear God, for all our mothers. We pray that you bless them, dear God.
Yes.
Lord, most of all, we pray that you bless the preacher this morning, dear God. Lord, you bring the message, Lord, may we say that we stand in need of, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, be with the sick, the afflicted, and the ones that lost loved ones today, dear God. Lord, just help us through the day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's we'll take our Sunday school classes now. And if y'all don't have anything else, we'll take our Sunday school.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you. I'll see if I can talk to you.
Yes, he did.
What's it, Bob Smart?
That's right. He did do such a job.
Somebody looking at you.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. How many saw the Northern Lights this week? All right.
I saw pictures, but I don't care.
Yeah. In places, they were incredible. They really were.
Wallace had some awesome pictures of it.
Did he? Okay, good. Anybody need a study guide? Didn't get one last Sunday. Okay.
Where did you see them from?
I did not see them. I've just seen pictures.
Finished it Friday and I set up Saturday night, last night.
If you want a really good picture from Royal, go see Mitchell.
Yes.
He's got some. Yeah, he's got a really good one of the church with the Northern Lights behind it, so frameable. I mean, it's pretty. Well, we're going to get started on the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Matthew chapter 5. And I thought about this week. What if in your lifetime you could hear Christ teach you one time? What would you do with it? We'd have tape recorders, video recorders. We'd probably type it out and hang it on our wall, wouldn't we? But it's written down right here. And that's how we need to take this. This Sermon on the Mount, we should take this as our personal sermon that came from Christ. Okay? Think of it. And his sermon is how to live a life. How to live a happy life. And right and wrong. You know, what was that? If I could get one good piece of advice from Christ to live my life, here it is in this sermon. It's that important, what's in these verses. As we said earlier, it was on last Sunday, on the northern shore, Sea of Galilee. Huge crowd followed him. And Roger brought up a point last Sunday that has stuck with me, and I did a little more digging. The first verse says, "And seeing the multitude that he just fed with the bread and the fishes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." For several reasons, especially like verse 13 where he says, "Ye," I think this sermon is directed to disciples, to followers. Now, anybody could have heard it. There could have been 5,000 people listening to it, and probably was. But I do think, Roger, this was directed at the ones that already believed in him. I really do. Yeah. Because several places he said, "Ye," specifically, "Ye." So while it was available to everybody, I think it was directed to people who were already following him. Everybody good with that?
Well, it's kind of like preaching. When you're preaching to the congregation, when we say "ye," we're talking about everybody that's saved. Mm-hmm. But there may be people sprinkled in amongst us mm-hmm. that don't know the Lord. And so yeah. Jesus was talking to all of them, but he was specifying his disciples.
Yeah, okay. I think so. So, good job, Roger. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and there's half a dozen different ideas on how these were directed, but I'm just going to touch on two of them. And the first one is just kind of interesting, but I don't really put a lot of credence in it, and then we'll do the main one. One of the ways this is looked at is how it contrasts with people of the day at that time. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit as opposed to those that are just poor financially. Blessed are the meek as opposed to the Pharisees were a lot of times portrayed as being proud. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, as opposed to hungering and thirsting after food. Blessed are the peacemakers, as opposed to the zealots that wanted to overthrow the Roman occupation, we'll use that word. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness, as opposed to being persecuted for not following the Roman rule of law. So that's one way that it's looked at, is contrasting. But that's not really the way I see it. In my Bible, I have a line drawn between verses 6 and 7. And the way I look at this, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 is a lost person. Verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and going forward is a person saved. Let's look at the characteristics of someone who is lost seeking Christ. They're poor in spirit. They mourn. They're meek. They're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Does that not describe a lost person as he's making his way to an altar? They're brokenhearted, the broken heart, the contrite spirit. They realize their sins, their hopelessness without Christ. And he's saying they're blessed in that condition. Because they're in a condition to get saved, right? So he's using those attributes. Blessed is the lost person, poor in spirit, for they're about to get into the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourned, for they shall be comforted. If we come to Christ right, He'll save us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, life, eternal life. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If Christ has drawn someone and they come to Him in these four characteristics, He's never said, nah, nope. It's open arms. He said, they shall be filled. So I see these first Beatitudes describing the blessedness of a lost person that's made it to this point. They're just about there. Yeah. That's the truly blessed person, is the one that's in a condition that Christ can save them. Any comments on that? Agree? Disagree? Okay, the next few verses talk about the results of salvation. They're merciful. They're pure in heart. They're peacemakers. And they're persecuted. Okay? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Remember the verse about being judged the way we judge? Yeah. But a characteristic of a Christian is merciful. Freely we received, freely give. We were given mercy. Yeah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart means being salvation, doesn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A person who strives to be at peace, a good indication they're a Christian, isn't it? Yeah. All these are attributes now of a good Christian. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Boy, there's a really good characteristic. A person that's being persecuted for their faith, they probably got it. Yeah, they have the kingdom of heaven in their hand, in their life, in their heart.
Brother Mike, I tried to sit on this, but would it describe those that shall inherit the earth? Those that truly, the life that they inherit is the abundant life in this earth.
The good life.
And it has nothing to do with earthly things.
No.
So those that inherit the earth are those that are free from the bonds of this earth.
Yeah.
Those are one and the same. Yeah.
That's the good earth. That's the way the earth was meant to be from the Garden of Eden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone else.
There's something special about a peacemaker, too. You get a group of people together, and for the most part, the way I see it, people are kind of followers. If they've got a leader, they will follow. And a lot of times that leader leads them wrong. You've seen crowds, people get involved in things that they normally wouldn't have done, but they'll follow somebody into it. Mm-hmm. But blessed is the peacemaker. When it leads you away from confusion and destruction and the things that a rowdy crowd, I'll put it that way, would do, his calming effect. And I've seen that in church where we had a situation that was a little tough, and we had a man that stood up and just calmed it down, just standing right here, and I never will forget that. It was Bud LaRue. He was a peacemaker, and so those people are special in my eyes. They are. Someone that can lead us to a peaceful place rather than a confusing place or a confrontational place.
And these Christians here with Rome on them like this right here just really didn't have time to fool with Rome or the conflict or whatever. They didn't have time to fool with politics. They had more important things to do, didn't they? Yeah.
We can see the importance in this, Brother Michael, about peacemakers, of how important it is that we try our best to elect peacemakers into office. It's dangerous, very dangerous, when you have leadership that is not peacemakers but is stirs up trouble. Mm-hmm. We've had that.
Yeah. And Sister Pam will vouch, any class in high school, two or three kids will determine if that's a good or a bad class.
Yeah.
Yeah. People went out the first day and break their neck right in front of the rest of them.
Yeah. 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 But there'll be two or three that have the influence that whole class will follow. Yeah.
Lead those kids that wouldn't do that over,
mm-hmm.
following and suit.
Yeah, for better or for worse. Right. Yeah, yeah. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Well, that goes against the grain, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And if I could paraphrase, well, let me just read it. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, I do not, Michael, personal, I don't believe in rewards in heaven, big crowns, little crowns and all that. You know, eternal life's a big enough reward. And I really, if I could read that, rejoice and be exceeding glad. You just have no idea what you've got waiting on you. Yeah. That's a really good, rejoice, you know, you're another trait of being saved. It's a good, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a good sign that you're saved. Let's go with that. You're being persecuted for doing right. Yeah. He says, rejoice. Remember the disciples, the apostles, were beaten and left rejoicing that they were worthy. Yeah. I know it's hard when we're here on this earth, but life is about that long compared to eternity. About that long. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a good sign you've got the goods. So therefore, rejoice. Yeah. Yeah. You're making a difference. Yeah. So, as I look at these, that's how I see the Beatitudes. He starts off with the blessed condition of being at a point where Christ will save you, and then the attributes of what happens after that. A changed life. Yeah. But all of it runs counterculture to what was going on at that time with Rome. Yeah. Anyone else on these? I hope. Don't know if that's what you're looking for, but I know people will dig into that each verse and go into much detail, but I don't really see it that deeply and chasing it that much. That it's just characteristics. Yeah. Anyone?
I looked up the word blessed or blessed because I thought surely the world's going to have this corrupted off in Sodom and Gomorrah, but really, most of them said holy or highly favored. Mm-hmm. Can't be any better than that.
No. And you could read them that way. You are so blessed if you're poor in spirit because you're on your way to being saved. You are so blessed if you're merciful, for you're going to obtain mercy. Yeah. Yeah. There's another way to read them. Yeah. Yeah. We are so blessed because we're children of the King, aren't we? Yeah. Anyone else? All right. Let's talk about salt and light. These verses scare me to death. They scare me to death. Because if it were today, Christ is saying, Brother Roger, you're the salt and light of the earth. Brother Rod, you're the salt and light of the earth. Sister Belinda, you're the salt and the light of the earth. What a responsibility on us. Yeah. You are the salt of the earth. Let's start with salt. Why did he use the word salt? What characteristics of salt would make him pick the word salt?
It's a preservative.
Number one, it's a preservative. Maybe everybody in here, I don't know, not as old as I am, but salt was used to keep meat. It salted down. That's why their blood pressure was so high. But yeah, to keep meat, you'd salt it down. It would preserve it. So we as Christians are called to be the preservative of the earth. Another characteristic.
Hey, that's flavor.
Flavor. Christians, ye are the flavoring of the earth. We should be the flavor in everybody's life we come in contact with. Yeah.
If you cook that meat and put it on the table without salt on it, people are going to either shove it away or they're going to ask for salt paper.
Yeah.
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 Can you imagine eating an egg without salt?
Or a tomato?
Yeah.
Or a watermelon? Anything!
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I have to because of my blood pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're only talking about that because Linda's not here today to tell us.
Blood pressure, I know, yeah. I know.
But Brother Michael, on the downside, when salt has lost its savor, it's absolutely worthless.
jumping ahead on us. Goodness, Bobby. Slow down there, man. Slow down. Another characteristic of salt. It cleanses. What would our oceans be like without salt? It'd be awful.
Swamp, wouldn't it?
It would be an awful, awful swamp. So Christians, you're the cleansing agent of the world. Christians, look at the responsibility put on us. Yeah. To be the flavoring for the world. Yeah. And he said, that's us. That's us. Yeah. And truly, you think about the Christians in this dark, evil world. You know, we're their hope that through our lives, they see him. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Bobby. We can get to it now.
Okay. I'm sorry.
But if the salt has lost its savor or lost its flavoring, how are you going to use it for salt? How's it going to have these characteristics? Good for nothing to be cast out and walked on. If I could paraphrase that a little bit. A Christian who's lost his saltness, now I'm not talking about being lost again, but has lost his joy, has lost his way, he's not any good to the world. Yeah. He's lost his saltness. Yeah. Pretty important that we stay on our toes, isn't it? To be that light. Oh, sorry. To be that salt. I'm jumping ahead. I'm sorry, Bobby. Yeah.
I've got a quick story to tell about that. That really brought that to a different light for me. I was in Vietnam, and I was at a little store. And my grasp of Vietnamese was like a second grader, but there was an argument that went on in the store between these two people. And it got heated. And then one of the persons, they left, like, took off. And then, so the owner went in the back and got a big handful of salt, threw outside, all outside the front of the door. And I'm like, well, look. Well, I said, you need to explain to me what just happened. And they said, well, here, if there's a particularly bad situation, we throw salt out to chase all that badness out. We do as Christians.
Yeah, for real.
If we're salt and light, that's kind of what we do too. We're supposed to chase all that badness.
Yeah. But as we talked before, the people we meet, we should be salt in their lives. If I could use a paraphrase, we should taste good to them. Our spirit, they should welcome it. Yeah. That person that you know that can walk in a room and light it up. Yeah. Which brings us into the next one. He said, ye are the light of the world. Same thing. Characteristics of light. Number one, light produces heat, warmth, sunlight. Number two, it illuminates our way. And number three, one of the very, very few, light is the constant in the universe. Yeah. So let's look at this. Number one, our lives as Christians should help illuminate the way to the world so they can see Christ. Number two, what was the second one I said? Warmth. Warmth. Yeah. Yeah, we should have warmth to the people we come in contact with. And then number three, the constant. I thought of all the, tried to think on the way over this morning, all the kingdoms that have fallen in history. Where you want to start? Incas, Babylonians, Roman Empire, just everywhere. What's been the one constant through history? The church. Church is still there. Yeah. Yeah. We're as light, we should be that constant through the generations until Christ comes back. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I thought about that this morning. As you were talking about it,
you know,
when I look at the Beatitudes, I think someone asked a question, why do we go to church and what do we believe? I would say, find me a better kingdom than this. Mm-hmm. Tell me a king or a philosophy or a country that's greater than this. You're not going to find one. This, the foundation of this, is what changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about light, darkness is the absence of light. And how dark would it be if there was no light?
You know, Brother Michael, light's kind of funny too. We've all heard and been told about someone being in a cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, somebody's watch came on and how bright it looked.
Mm-hmm.
Probably nobody but me's noticed because I'm kind of weird. Right above your head, there's a light that appears to be out. Now, it didn't really make a whole lot of difference because there's a lot of light in here. But if we were in this church in the middle of the night, no moon and no street lights out there, and that one light that's out was the only one that was on, we could see everything in here. If we were in total darkness, if there's a little light shining, we can still see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, light is just, it's just everything. Without light, plants won't grow.
Mm-hmm.
Without light, we wouldn't be able to eat. Because without plants, even if we don't, if we're not vegetarians, our big cow wouldn't have anything to eat because there'd be no grass. So light is life. And we are the light of the world. We're the life of the world. We stay in our place.
And there I go back to the how scary these verses are. As Christians, we're that important to the world. As important as light is. As important as salt is. That's how much value is in the church, the Christians. What a responsibility.
But Michael, I think of two things. I'm very basic, y'all know that. I'm very elementary basic. But when I'm thinking about the salt and I'm thinking about how things absorb, I guess from a science standpoint,
mm-hmm.
I'm imagining the water and then putting the salt in there and then it just absorbs to the whole thing. So like if we're around others that say are lost, hopefully our point, the Christian, the faith in us, the salt in us, will start to absorb through the people mm-hmm. around us, like flavor, other types mm-hmm. of flavoring around us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of it like that, absorbing, you know, that the salt. And when I think of light, it's without darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Salt retains water. Just like we talked about the light being the warmth, Brother Michael. Sure. Salt causes us to retain water. Salt in our spiritual life hosts the Spirit of God. That I've heard it preached from here, from that pulpit, about the river of life that flows from this altar out through the church. And without us being able to be where we need to be, have an abundance of that Spirit in our lives to reach for that river to flow.
Yeah.
And how often do we just get discouraged or things get tough and we don't realize who we are? That's my problem, I think, sometimes. I forget who I am in the Lord and His purpose for me. I go thinking about my purpose for me and not His purpose. And that gets in the way. And then we'll have a good Sunday school lesson and I get all tore up. And so I have to go pray somewhere, but appreciate it.
Verse 14, Christians are the light of the world. Now, and I'm plugging some words in here, I realize. Forgive me for that. Christians are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Impossible. If the church lets His light shine through it, the world has to see it. It can't be hid. Now, the darker it gets, the easier it is, which seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? Yeah. But a city, you know, I've mentioned before, when we lived in Royal, I could see on a cloudy night, Gadsden's lights, Aniana's lights. I wouldn't seen one street light, but there were so many street lights that I could see them up in the clouds. Yeah, that's the church. Yeah.
The light is a beacon, too, to draw people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's a Solomon, a candle in the window, a flame against the night, and it draws people to a place of safety, or it warns people of a place of danger. So, you know, light is just... It's one of the first things he created.
Yeah.
Because everything else had to have it to exist.
Yeah. Neither do men, verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. How much sense would it make in the dark to light a candle and put it in the cabinet and close the door? As Christians, we're not called to hide from the world. We're not called to hide our faith, our salt, our light. We're called to be an example, to be some good to somebody. Yeah. And finally, so make your light shine, that just won't work. You know, you really won't think about it. Light is not intrusive. It's not going to run around that door and get in, is it? Now, it's hard to make a room totally dark. I realize that. That's not what I'm saying. But light is not intrusive. It only can get where it's allowed to go. But he said to let our light shine before men. You're not going to cram salvation down anybody's throat. You'll just drive them off. But let it shine. Let your light shine. How? That they may see your good works. Your light can't shine sitting down. His light through us shines through our good works. And if I can add, our joy. Our joy. So that men may see your good works. And what's that going to lead them to? The Father. Yeah. 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 His light through us. Yeah. So maybe as I close, because we're out of time, we think about that. Maybe we should all walk around this week with a salt shaker and a flashlight to remind us who we are. Let me sprinkle some salt. That needs a little salt. Need some help there? Let me show you. Yeah.
It's a good conversation starter.
It would be, wouldn't it? Maybe that's what I should have done this morning. Come in with a salt shaker and a flashlight. All these good ideas that wait too late.
Mitchell, dim the lights.
Yeah, how Mitchell, dim the lights. I'm going to come in with a salt shaker and a flashlight. It's a good word picture, isn't it? To walk around. Remember, we've got a salt shaker and a flashlight. Let's use them. Anyone else? I'm done for this.
I've been thinking about this. I don't know anybody else's situation behind, but I was raised. And if the person that led me to church, which ultimately led me to the Lord, had their light under a bushel wherever I've been. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to be for the people around us.
Yeah. She chose to shine that light in your direction. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Brother Michael, one of the plagues that God put on the Egyptians was darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible described it as darkness that could be felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought about that. That had to have been pretty dark. And I guess there was no way that the Egyptians could do anything about lighting it up.
Mm-hmm.
Said over in Goshen, where the Israelites were, they had light in their tents. But the Egyptians didn't, and I've always thought about that darkness that could be felt. That had to be black.
There had to be a fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Michael took two quick thoughts. The first thing that God did in creation is said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
I sit here and talk about many years ago, when I was a very young man, we had kind of a president that challenged us as the United States to be a city on the earth. that comes to the moral authority as a nation. It's the thought I was pondering.
Maybe I should just put the flashlight here and the salt shaker here this morning. Maybe that would have worked. I thank everybody for your help this morning.